I'm wondering, Myron, what you can tell me about the way that people in the United States used to conceptualize our connection to what we now call the environment, or we have various ways of talking about ecology. This wasn't true all along the way. And I think the nation probably started with the idea that, you know, we're going to subdue this land. And is that what you read from American history? And do you see turning points where we refined that idea in the way that we work?
One of my favorite stories is to tell people about how the story of Paul Bunyan actually ends, and that is that he cut down the last tree standing. If you've ever read the book Collapse, about the collapse of civilizations, you know that there were plenty of stories about people just abusing their flora and fauna until there was nothing left and the entire culture collapsed. We were on that path until the 1970s, 1960s, the awareness began. And when people started to look at the rivers and watch them burn, like the Cuyahoga, the Ohio would have floating globs of flotsam and jetsam on fire, people actually became aware and interested. Of course, we can go back earlier than that to the early 1900s with Teddy Roosevelt doing some things to save some forest land and some national parks, and even actually earlier than that to the Grant administration, which started the first national park. But it was very small until the 1960s and 70s when we really began to pay attention to our environment. I always attribute a lot of that environmentalism to our space program. There is that wonderful picture of the, quote, little blue marble, unquote, when millions of Americans and people all across the planet got to see our fragile little Earth from outer space. I feel confident in saying that had a lot to do with people's increasing awareness that our environment is finite and we need to take care of it.
I don't know if this is accurate, but I'm pretty sure there's a widely held idea that corporations are responsible for a lot of the despoiling of our environment. The mining, dumping pollutants into the air and into the ground. Is that what you read from American history?
The profit motive has caused people to try and make as much money as they can, as fast as they can. Now, it would be, I think, an error to just blame corporations because our consumer lifestyle also demands that we have more and more stuff. But I believe the great majority of blame does lie with the corporations, whether we log the entire Chippewa Valley or sand mine paradise for a few years' worth of profit, leaving behind poverty and pollution. Extraction mining has a long history of enriching just a few and leaving the rest with the two P's, poverty and pollution. And so, yes, I do put a lot of blame on our corporate model and our for-profit model.
And what about our conception of how we relate to other species? And I'm taking into account there that this nation started with somehow this distinction as if people with dark skin were a different species, but also the other animals and plants. How do we see ourselves different now than what people saw at the dawn of this experiment called the United States of America?
At some point, it is hard for me to blame the settlers and the people of the 1800s for thinking that our wildlife was infinite. The land was so rich and so teeming with so many animals, it would take a tremendously far-sighted person to think that could actually end. Unfortunately, of course, we learned the hard way, and it did. Then we get back to the 1960s again, when there's this wonderful realization that we do live in a finite world. And we had a couple of books. The most famous one, I suppose, that everybody knows is Rachel Carson's Silent Spring. And the idea that there is a connectivity to all of the living creatures on Earth. And we need to be mindful of that. My fear is that we've forgotten that. And whether you read about the die-off of the bee colonies or the butterflies, the Great Barrier Reef, and so on, is very concerning.
I'm pretty sure that people who are into environmentalism probably highly prize science, which takes us from being the center of the universe to being one of the species on that planet. Is that an accurate reading that's reflected in how we think about things as a nation?
I think yes. The march of scientific knowledge goes all the way back to Aristotle and before. people began to write things down and make observations and think about their natural world. We have some major breakthroughs over the course of the 1900s, in large part because of increasing technology, challenges the original thinking, the Scopes trial, challenging the idea of what we think about scientifically as compared to what we are told historically. In the current sense, we have this tremendous battle going on now with genetically modified foods. How far can science actually take that? And how bad is that for our overall environment and our life here on Earth? These are questions that are going to be answered. They certainly are causing an interesting discussion right now. I fear some things that we have been promised science is going to feed the world and end starvation since the 1970s. That has not proven to be true. So my biggest concern is that when we start to genetically modify our organisms, what is the next step? And with the corporate model, it is to control and patent genes and chromosomes to the point where only a few people are actually in control of much of the things that we eat. And I don't believe that is a good path to go down.